Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks. I tell you, it has been a gorgeous week all week long down here on the Gulf. And I tell you, coming back from Atlanta where it was hot, cold, we came into town 2 weeks ago and it just has cooled off and it's been phenomenal. No clouds in the sky. And if you guys could just see our sugary white beaches and the way the Emerald Coast just laps up there. I know Harry Wilkes is on the call today and he appreciates what I'm saying here. It's just gorgeous, man. But today is an awesome day. And what we're going through, what we've been looking at, is John Maxwell's book, Failing Forward. And Jimmy's going to join us here in a little bit. But we're in chapter two, and we kind of alluded to this yesterday. And I think this is powerful when you look at it. Is getting a new definition for failure and success. Nelson Boswell puts it this way. He says, the difference between greatness and mediocrity is often how an individual views a mistake. And I see that in my own kids. It's amazing to me the way sometimes you're able to relive your life through your kids. You see them make mistakes, and you think, why'd they do that? I just told them about that. But yet, it's through those mistakes. It's how they react to those mistakes. It's how we react to our mistakes that really portray where we're going and what we're going to be doing next and how we're going to accomplish it. And one of the stories that Maxwell uses in this book, he talks about a date, August 6, 1999, when a Major League Baseball player steps up to the plate in Montreal. And instead of getting that hit, instead of going like he wanted to go, he ends up striking out. It's his 5,113th strikeout. Now, when you think about that, that's a lot of times at the plate. That's a lot of pitches. That's a lot of strikeouts. But yet he walks away with a smile on his face because he's only one of 21 people in the history of Major League Baseball who had gone out and hit 3,000 hits. I mean, think about that. We look at the negative way too much in our lives. And today, we want to give you guys an opportunity to redefine what you see as failure, to redefine success. I want you all to realize, and a lot of you have heard this, but I think it's very important. Success is not the destination. A lot of us have heard the word, it's the journey. If you listen to Miley Cyrus like I do because I have kids, it's about the climb. And I really strongly suggest you can go to MLM Help Desk or you can go to YouTube, you can go anywhere and see that video. I would listen to the lyrics in that song because that song really tells us what network marketing is all about. It explains to us where we're going, how we're going to be doing it, where we're going through. And that's today where we're at. And Jimmy, you just got on. I was just doing a little prologue. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, man. How about you?
I cannot. You know what? I just told everybody, there is not a cloud in the sky. This is the third day in a row, not one cloud in the sky. I've got emerald green water and just baby blue sky above me, and it's beautiful.
You know, we have to say that this qualifies as blessed and highly favored. Mm-hmm. To live in God's country. I mean, yeah, there's times when I absolutely wonder if I'm sane living down here in the South with this humidity in the summertime. But I tell you what, in the spring and the fall, and even in the winter, because the winter here, for all practical purposes, is you know, not what you'd call a winter, because that's why all the snowbirds are leaving from up north to come down this way. You know, we have to stop on a daily basis and truly thank the Lord for our blessings in our life, no matter what our circumstances are. No matter how bad we think we might have it, there's someone somewhere, I guarantee you, who would trade places with us in a heartbeat.
Man, that's so true.
You know, it's one of the things that we've kind of neglected to talk about here in a while is the fact of, you and I have talked about it offline, but we haven't talked about it on the air. And that's the fact of how honored we are and how blessed we feel to be able to put on this show and have people that are tuning in to listen to it on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And just the ability to touch people's lives. within the last few days, we were talking about the convention that went on out in Las Vegas and how many people were at that convention, and they were talking about the work that we were doing in terms of the impact that it was having for the industry. And it's an honor when you got people from all over the world who know who you are and are praising the work that you do. But the inspiration for that comes from the listener.
That's true.
And we have to thank those people who are listening, because it's through those people that are listening and through the art of network marketing, whether they realize it or not, they're spreading the word about what we're doing, and that's how people are finding us.
Well, I think it's very humbling when you think about it, Jimmy, because we didn't do this to become famous per se. We did it because we knew there was a void in the industry, and we wanted to get some really good, solid nuts and bolts training out there.
Exactly. Without anyone feeling like they were going to be either recruited or anything in that respect if they were to actually come to the show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because there are a couple of programs out there that are designed, they come under the guise of generic training, and they do everything within their power through the guise of generic training to recruit people not only into their business, but to subtly defame other companies in the process.
Oh, yeah.
And I think you know exactly which program I'm referring to with that. And, it's a great feeling when you hear from people that, we love what you're doing. Please keep doing it. And, Troy, I thank you from the bottom of my heart for being, one of the inspirations for creating this and actually being the driving force behind this particular program, because this is truly your baby, and we've been, I feel like I'm just along for the ride, and it's just an honor to share the time with you.
Hey, it's just fun, man. It's, the more we can get this out and the more people will be able to take nuggets away, go back. I know I got an email the other day from a guy that's going through all the archives of Aces Radio and Radio for Your Mind. He said, man, I'm just pulling information that I've never learned in network marketing. And I think that's truly, Jimmy, the key is people become isolated. They become inbred. They just listen to one focus of the upline. And most of the time, sad to say, the upline has an agenda. They want to make more money, or they want to sell a tool, or they want to do something. And over here, we don't charge for the radio show. We put it up on iTunes. We put it out there all over the place for people to listen to. And we truly, both of us, at the bottom of our heart, believe, just like Zig Ziglar used to say, if you help enough people, that will come back to you in a hundredfold. And I believe that's what's going to happen here. The more people that we help, whether it's a CEO to a brand new distributor, the more we help people, the more we're going to see that come back, and people are going to know that, man, they can bring their teams over here, and the last thing we're going to do is recruit them into some business or slam their company or whatever. Matter of fact, just yesterday, I pulled a company from the scam alerts and put them over in the MLM side of things, because over the last 90 days, their distributors had stepped up to the plate, helped the company clean up its act, and really put together a compensation plan and a marketing plan that is valid. It's viable in network marketing. And people don't understand, just because we happen to get on our bandwagon sometimes on certain companies or certain people doesn't mean that we don't change our minds. It doesn't mean that the facts don't change. And I think that's what sets us apart, because we're not out there just lambasting companies hoping that people will join ours. We actually want people to succeed, and if they want to go join any company under the sun, it's America. Thank God they can go do that, but at least do it with your eyes wide open. I think we may have lost Jimmy there for a second.
Sorry, I want to contradict something that you just said, my friend, because I don't believe that men are capable of changing their mind, because their egos won't allow them to change their mind. However, I do believe that men especially will make a new decision based on new information. And what you just described is just that. Yeah, it's making a new decision about something that's transformed based on new information that wasn't there originally.
I accept that correction.
You know, that that's something that we, you know, for whatever reason, it's one of the things that is very identifiable with our theme right now of failing forward, because the concept of men changing their mind, you know, women change their minds, you know, as often as they change their clothes, and please don't, you know, think I'm trying to be a sexist with this in any way, shape, or form, but the truth is, guys are stubborn.
I hope
I've earned the right to be able to say that, you know, having been one for the last 50 years. you know, but I honestly believe that most men are stubborn.
Hang on a minute. I am so glad that you made sure people understood that you had been a man for 50 years and there was no changing in the process somewhere along the way. I think that is very good.
Well, yeah, you know, I didn't
want
this to
be. This is the 21st century, man. We got to be clarifying what we're meaning here.
You're absolutely right. As scary as it is, you're absolutely right. So, I mean, that's
fine. I'm sorry. Go back on your go back training.
You know, you should have been around when I was shooting a couple of these videos, because you have a way of bringing some of the levity out. You know, John has not been able to bring out the humorous side in me yet. He keeps telling me, he says, "You're always so serious." So, that's, you know, there's something to be said for laughter. Yesterday I was talking a little bit about Charlie Tremendous Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And folks, if you're listening to this and you have the opportunity to pick up one of Charlie Tremendous Jones's books,
oh man, yeah.
And if you're not sure who I'm talking about, the gentleman was featured in The Secret. He wore a white suit in The Secret, had a patch on one eye, and he has been such a comic inspiration in this industry. The man is an icon when it comes to motivational speaking and teaching and everything. And he is such because of the fact that he knows how to make people laugh at themselves. And one of the greatest lessons I ever heard him teach was a lesson on, if you can't laugh at yourself, you're going to live a rather frustrating and painful life, because yeah, you don't have the right to laugh at anyone else until such time as you learn to laugh at yourself. And if you can help others to learn to laugh at themselves, you can realize that you don't have to take everything so serious, because life truly isn't an emergency. It's not one emergency after another. So if we live life like it's an epic adventure, like Troy likes to say, excuse me, we learn to lighten up a little bit, laugh, love, and live. It's amazing how the power of attraction can work in our favor, and we can actually start having good things come into our lives.
You know, you hit that one right on the head, Jimmy, because it goes back to what we're talking about today with failure. People like to take an isolated event. Maybe somebody tells them no. Maybe they get reprimanded at work. Maybe, you know, their wife tells them no. Whatever the case may be. They take that as, oh, I failed. I did not follow through. I didn't do something right. Instead of looking at that and realizing, man, I need to grow through this. I need to learn through this. If I lost the sale, if I wrecked my car, I don't care what it is. If they missed the last promotion, that doesn't mean that failure is the end result. How many of your pilots that you train get it all right the very first time when you're training them?
You know, I'm not going to answer that question. I'm going to defer that question to young Mr. Hansis, who actually has the luxury of teaching primary, which is the course where they first get to put their hands on the controls, and this is, you know, this is like introducing them to a football bat, you know, because they have no more idea how to fly when he gets them than they do. I mean, I don't know, John. How, yeah. What would you equate that to? Because, you know, I see them at a different level of training, Troy.
Okay, Johnny, let's go with you. How many of them get it right the first time?
Well, I'm going to tell Jim real quick. I know I completely broke the mold when he got me for instruction. I did everything perfect the first time, just like anything in my life, right? I mean, you know, everybody, since we were talking about men's egos. But, yeah, I mean, you sit there and you grab someone from a completely new experience. All they know is that they get to this thing, a machine, and somehow, some way, it gets in the air. It just does that, you know. There's a little Malali's buttons you push, you know, and you start wiggling these flight control things, and bam, all of a sudden you're experiencing the miracle of flying, you know. So it takes time. Anything takes time. It takes practice. It takes repetition. I haven't met one person yet, other than people who come in through with already previous flight experience, can actually hover the helicopter, but everybody needs practice. They need to stumble and fall, you know. And the coolest thing is I get to be a leader, like if you would compare it to the network marketing industry, like what you guys are doing for me, is you guys give me a great safety net, if you will. And you let me try to do a maneuver, a flight maneuver, or you let me try to figure out how to start, or how Jim always likes to talk, doing this attraction marketing and getting people involved with the business and up on information. You actually give me this huge safety net, you know, with vast experience that you guys have and knowledge, and allow me to go out there and stumble fall myself, just like I would do for my students while we're flying, you know. And I'm pretty sure Jim can attest to that when he gives them a huge vast safety net, because I know Jim teaches them how to navigate in the worst possible flight conditions, and he lets them get lost to a point, because I know he did it for me, you know. And which transfers into him being an awesome network marketing leader. I mean, just it's been phenomenal, the amount of feedback that he's been getting. And, you know, it's rightfully so with these, you know, videos and beautiful training pieces that are coming out, which I'm very proud to say that I'm part of in a very, very humble way. You know, it's just allowing these perceptions to occur. I mean, man,
okay, now wait a minute.
This is an awesome day. I don't know what to say. I really had a lot of words.
You did, but listen, you just used the word perception. I want to go with that for a second. Because
okay.
All the way through here, you're talking about how people stumble, they fall. Not once did you use the word failure. And I want people to understand this for a minute. You can stumble, you can fall, you can have different perceptions, but correct me if I'm wrong. John Hanses are the only one that can decide to label something as a failure or a learning experience. Am I correct on that?
That is absolutely correct. But, you know, it depending on the perception of how you use the word failure, because I know the past few shows have been talking about failure, having 100% failure and keep going for no and all that other. Mm-hmm. It all depends. I mean, that perception brings on a failure, which will bring a new perception and a whole new learning experience. And that's the funniest thing. When you actually apply that stuff in your life and you use those failures, I mean, like, because my students have to use it every day. You know, when I'm meeting people and they're not used to even speaking to people because, gosh, everybody's so scared to speak to people and everybody cares about what everybody else is going to think. And if you just be yourself and you accept that you know you're going to go out there and stumble and fall like what we're talking about, those perceptions are going to open up into beautiful experiences afterwards if you just trust that they're going to come. I've always been a firm believer in trusting a process of anything. You know, as long as you follow and stick to that process, and if it involves failure or stumbling and falling, whichever you decide to call it, man, it's just amazing the doors beyond the learning experiences that will open for you. So it's just a remarkable concept, and my life is truly changing every single day using this. And I don't know what else to say. I mean, just I get so excited speaking about it.
Okay, so we can...
It really is so simple if you just let it be simple and it'll work in your life. I'm at a loss for words again, Troy. I don't know what else to say.
That's okay. As a trainer, as somebody that for a living goes out and teaches other people how to take a multi-million dollar machine and not break it, would you say that failure is really not the enemy, it's just part of a process?
I agree 100%, hands down. You know, I wish I could formulate those words exactly the way you said it, because it's like you extracted them from my brain and put them out on the radio show today. I'll tell you what, Troy, that is 100% correct. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Then failure is really not our enemy. It's something that we should embrace and learn from.
Every single day of your life.
See?
Every single day of your life. Just going through everything. I mean, what do you do? It's a simple fact of when you're trying to ride a bike without training wheels. What do you do? I don't know one little kid. I haven't seen one little tiny kid not fall over, right? Get a scrape on the knee. You know, but hey, mom and dad sitting there watching, kid falls over. Come on, get up. You'll be all right. What happens? And then, you know, you've got, I mean, let's think of tremendously huge BMX riding stars, or Tony Hawk, for example, one of the greatest skateboarders who ever lived. I don't know how many bones that guy broke, but look at him. He is one of the greatest all-time extreme sports player ever. I mean, if you want to label it, he must have failed, I would say, gosh, in tens of thousands of times.
Oh, so you hit it on the head. And, you know, I've got a survey that shows that the average entrepreneur will fail almost four times before they finally get it right. And we just had Corey Citron on Aces Radio Live the other day, and Corey didn't give the number, but I will. Over a dozen companies he joined and failed at. He just couldn't make it go before he finally hit on all eight cylinders, but he never quit. And I think that's the key here. If you've got one of your students, or Jimmy's got one of his students, and they screw up, you don't see them quit. You don't see them throw down their hat and say, I'm done. You work through that process. And you guys laugh at me, but I always go back to that movie Firebirds with Nicolas Cage and Tommy Lee Jones, because here's somebody that had
please
made
don't.
It through. Do what?
Please don't.
Oh, no, man. This is so good to me, because I see this, and I'm like, wait a minute. Your ego can get in the way, Jimmy. You're always talking about men and their egos, but yet finally the teacher and the student show up on the same page, and the next thing you know, everything's working out. I mean, I'm not going to tell the story because you guys laugh at me, but the concept is true. The ego goes away, the failure goes away, and all of a sudden you work through that process, and at the end of the day, you guys graduate pilots either to the next level or out to start flying on their own. And the same thing rings true in network marketing. Everybody's going to go through that learning curve. Everybody's going to have failures. They're going to see no's. They're going to have companies that just trash them. There's all kinds of stuff, but they don't have to accept that as failure. They can accept it as a learning curve, the obstacle, the roadblock. They jump right on over it and they keep going. Because until we say, I failed, I quit, there's no such thing as failure in our lives. We can't allow other people to control what we decide is failure. And a lot of people, I think, do that. They let other people say, you're a failure. They label them and they accept the label instead of saying, you know, you can go suck an egg. I'm going to go out here and prove you wrong.
Okay, I agree with everything you said, but I have to ask you a personal favor.
Never to bring that movie up again?
Exactly. Moving forward from here forward, can we use, you know, a movie that was actually worth watching? A movie like, An Officer and a Gentleman, where, you know, the character portrayed by Richard Gere. You know,
just let you know, Jim, I'm not letting you pick me up at the steel mill or whatever that place was and clear me out.
Oh, my goodness, man. It's a paper mill anyway. You know, but, you know, the idea of Firebirds. Firebirds was the biggest embarrassment to those of us in Army Aviation that has ever graced the big screen.
Hey, but just look at it this way, though. You got two top actors in there, right? At least according to Hollywood. You got Nicolas Cage and you got Tommy Lee Jones. Some woman, I can't remember what her name was, so I don't know what happened with her.
She's an overweight drunk now, don't worry about her.
Sean Young.
Oh, okay. Well, so the movie, in all essence, I don't know if it did that well. But the point is you got those two famous actors in there, and they've made tons of other successful movies. So I guess that kind of coincides with what we're talking about.
You know,
it really does, because if you think about it, I view personally, I view that movie as a failure because, let me tell you the story of this movie, and this will make it easier to understand why this movie to me is such a failure. It came out on the heels of Top Gun, and it was filmed at Fort Hood. There were a number of the members of the unit that I was assigned to at Fort Hood that were used in that movie as extras. They're actually in the movie.
Wow.
We were involved in the filming of the movie. You know, there were a number of us that consulted on the production of the movie and everything else. And we were out on a field training exercise the week prior to the release of Firebirds. And our entire unit had free passes to go see the movie because of our involvement with it and everything else. So there was this great anticipation of this movie, you know, while we were out on this field training exercise. We come back and we go out to see the movie that night, you know, the very first night that we get back. We come in from the field, clean up all our gear on Friday, go home, change clothes, and everybody, lock, stock, and barrel, families and all, you know, we're off to the movies to watch this movie. And I've never seen a more dejected, depressed, collective group of bodies in my life as I did when we walked out of the theater that night, and everybody was like, are you kidding me? That's what Hollywood has represented Army Aviation as? Oh, my God.
All I could say is, can you imagine the person who actually bought the DVD after it came out, and I'm sorry to say that I did that.
Well, you know, but here's the difference. I view the movie as a failure in terms of its representation of Army Aviation to the civilian population who really has no clue what we do.
Sure.
All right. And then I see a movie like Black Hawk Down, which was literally gut-wrenching to me to sit through the entire movie. The realism of the movie was so accurately portrayed and everything that it was, I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it. You know, that movie is so far beyond a failure in my mind, it's not even funny. But they're both about the same subject. They're both dealing with life as an Army aviator.
And your perception of one, because of your life experience right in the middle of it, it was a failure. And then going and viewing the other one and living the experience that you live as an aviation officer, you saw the success. You said, "That's me. That's I can actually empathize with those people." And I think, Jimmy, that's the key here. People are going to perceive failures in their own life, or they're going to perceive what a failure is. But at the same time, what you saw as a failure, Johnny was willing to go buy the DVD.
Exactly.
Hey, that doesn't count, man.
Let me touch on something here real quick, because ultimately what this just did in this little analogy of the movie Firebirds and the movie Black Hawk Down, what we've really talked about is a show that we did on our last book that we dedicated two shows to. What was that called again?
Law of Connection.
The Law of Connection. Because I had a different connection with the material in both points.
Yep.
And by the same token, it's through that law of connection and empathizing with people that we can, you know, in our business as professional instructors, one of our fundamentals of instruction is a concept called teaching from the known to the unknown, the simple to the complex, using a building block process. And we can only do that if we can understand, relate to, and empathize with someone's previous life experiences. Because learning takes place as a result of behavior, a change in behavior, I'm sorry. And that change in behavior takes place as the result of either an emotional experience or a cognitive experience that we have in life. It's one of those aha, epiphany type moments.
Yeah.
And we can only help people create those and work their way through failures on the road to success by way of the law of connection.
So folks, when you're out there looking at your leaders, don't look at your leaders as just always being successful. They have gone through the same roadblocks, obstacles, and failures that you have on their way to the top. So So start looking at this with a new light. You are not the failure. You may fail at an event based on your perception, based on your connection, but in the end, if you keep moving forward, not only will you learn to fly the chopper, you'll probably be teaching others how to do it. So join us tomorrow. We're going to go into Chapter 3. It's going to be awesome. Y'all live a life like it's an epic adventure and have a fantastic day.
God bless everybody. Have a great day.